Blog Talk Radio.
I believe 56 days away from football, maybe 57, and now is about the time where we should be talking projections and kind of what we think is about to happen in the next season. And last week, kind of hit on the NFC North, the Bears, Packers, Lions, and Vikings, and this week, we are going to hit the NFC West, which includes the Seattle Seahawks, Arizona Cardinals, San Francisco 49ers, and the new Los Angeles Rams. So, the news in NFL today and the past couple days, even next couple days coming up, just tomorrow, is the deadline for these players who receive franchise tags, and their team's got to make a decision on signing them long term, which me personally, being a Chiefs fan, has seen the benefit of Justin Houston getting his big contract on Friday, the day of the deadline. So, you know, There's definitely things that could happen as far as Von Miller. That's kind of the one, the big one that we're looking at, and then also Muhammad Wilkinson, which that one is, I think that might be a little more unlikely, and a couple more guys as far as Kirk Cousins, but he will play on his franchise tag in this upcoming year. I don't see any way around that. Throwing him a long-term deal right now would be kind of silly on the Redskins, end, because, we've seen one full year of Kirk Cousins under center, and it was good. We're not discouraging him at all, but it's not the time to pay him, what if he turns out to be kind of like, Kaepernick, you gave dude a lot of money, and I think they have a little bit of buyer's remorse at this point. So Kirk Cousins, I think, is a lock. There's Kirk. And then, I already hit on Wilkinson, and he's got some things going on, and they're playing limbo, it feels like. It feels like Leonard Williams is really going to be the next guy over there if it's not Sheldon or Wilkinson. I don't think one of those two will be on the team next year. I have someone on right now. Can you say your name?
What's up, Tyler? It's Rhino. How you doing?
Okay. What's up, Rhino? I didn't recognize the number, buddy. Sorry.
It's all right. No worries.
You are joining me, right? You weren't just listening?
No, I'm joining. Correct. Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. So out of these guys, I haven't hit the Eric Berry thing yet, but I will. Out of the first couple guys, I think the guys who won't get a deal, there's one that I didn't hit on, and that's Alshon Jeffrey. Do you agree that Alshon, Muhammad Wilkerson, and Kirk Cousins will all play under a franchise tag in 2016?
Well, I think Kirk Cousins is really a lock if you really look at it. He took the franchise tag for a year, Jay Gruden wants him as a quarterback. There's a reason they got rid of RG3. He's the guy, so I think that's pretty much a solid, safe one. Now, Alshon Jeffrey said today that he wants a massive deal, and as well he should get one. I mean, he's a great wide receiver. Chicago's going to lose their minds if they don't have him because they don't have a lot of other key pieces. I mean, I know they get Kevin White, right, coming in this season because he didn't play last season. So, interesting. I think that's going to be a great tandem duo. And Muhammad Wilkerson, this is the one that I think him or Sheldon Richardson are not going to be on there for next year because I believe they got Leonard Williams, right, last year in the draft?
Right.
USC. So this is eventually going to be one of them is expendable. The question is which one. Sheldon Wilkerson is a really good player. Muhammad Wilkerson, I'm sorry. Sheldon Richardson is a good – both of these guys are really, really good. It's just who do you want to pick. But humongous stories about the whole Von Miller situation. I don't know if you're going to touch on that, but, I mean, that's insane. But out of all these three, I mean, I think Sheldon Richardson is the most expendable because they have somebody who's already playing his position, right? I mean, that's how I look at it, really.
Yeah, the thing about it is that it's very likely that, well, I mean, it's not very likely that they'll keep all three of them, but it's very likely that one out of the three can move to interior lineman. Probably, if I had to guess, Sheldon Richardson, I think he's the biggest out of the three, and played nose tackle for that 3-4, and we see them, I mean, they move those guys around up front, so we've seen it, but, I mean, we're talking about if Sheldon and Muhammad, I'm sure, are going to want to sniff that $100 million around where these big players are being signed.
Absolutely.
Because,
yeah,
I mean,
and it helps that Todd Bowles is there to bolster that defense. Todd Bowles was a great defensive coordinator for Arizona and Jacksonville, you know, wherever he played. I mean, wherever he coached, and he played in the NFL, okay? So he knows how to shift people, how to do different things. But when you have Todd Bowles, who I think is a perfect generation for them to work under, it just works. And I know they have issues with the quarterback, but that trio is ridiculous. I mean, they can get to the quarterback.
Yes, and I mean, not only get to the quarterback, they were top five run defense last year. They might have been number one, actually.
I would think so, yeah. That's a ferocious
game. Yeah, there's big, you know, obviously big value in that, but it's also, we're looking at Leonard Williams through his rookie year. I mean, he's going on to his sophomore year and beyond. So we haven't even seen close to what Leonard Williams can do, you know, aside from the, you know, his snap count wasn't really that high. I mean, we're talking about the best defensive players in the league, their snap count, you know, it's not even close yet, but I'm sure we're going to see his snaps go up and big production out of Leonard Williams. He was taken in the, you know, top five for a reason, you know.
And I thought it was a good pick when they got him because, and then Sheldon Wilkerson wasn't very happy. But then again, you know, they can shift. They shift all the time on the field. So interesting to see what they're going to do.
You know, about Sheldon and Wilkerson, it's kind of, you know, you already said it. I think they're going to have to pick between the two. And if we're weighing pros and cons, you know, from the eyes of a Jets fan, just putting it in perspective is, you know, Wilkerson, he's got a certain attitude about him, but he's a heck of a football player. Sheldon Richardson, we've seen and we've heard everything about what he's done. And so do you want a guy like that or do you want a guy like Wilkerson who brings a certain – because he does bring a certain attitude to the team. And, you know, Wilkerson, you could show him the love now, even though they are pretty strapped for cash. But like I said, last year I watched the Chiefs bang out Justin Houston's contract. And it only accumulated to $6 million in a cap hit last year, and you know some people don't understand that is when you sign a long term deal, you can mess with the numbers more than you can with that baseline franchise tag, which that's what you're going to get paid for a year, you know. So and that's coming straight off of the cap. So when we are talking about these guys, I think Wilkerson's set to be paid about $12 million on the franchise tag. you know, if they work out a deal, they can cut that down to 7, maybe have to cut a couple guys, but you got a happy camper in a training camp and going forward, and now you're just going to have to kind of deal with Sheldon Richardson. So if it was you, Rhino, Wilkerson or Richardson?
You know, I love both of these guys. I really do. But I love Mohammed Wilkerson's fire. Okay? He may be yelling. He may be doing something. But the guy can play football. I really, really respect him. And he's a competitor. And, Tyler, I used to play sports a long time. I had a fiery personality. That's a competitive side of him. I like it. And I think Sheldon Richardson is really, really good. But Mohammed Wilkerson is a guy who I really, really like. I think he's fantastic. And I think him, Leonard Williams, you know, they are building a good defensive line. Look, they have a great defense. All right. Front to back, it's phenomenal. All right. I mean, that's what Todd Bowles does. But I love Mohammed Wilkerson, and I would keep him over Sheldon Richardson. I mean, the guy has incredible fire. I love it.
Absolutely. And so now going forward are a couple of guys that I don't think is going to get paid. And I don't think that Von Miller contract, I can't see the numbers. I mean, look at their salary cap and how are they going to work that? And I'm not even talking about this year. I'm talking about going forward, because even if they did work his deal to where he's only getting paid under $10 million this year, guess what? His numbers are going to be, that means that it's a backloaded contract. So you're going to be paying him that money at some point, and it's not going to be cheap. It's kind of like the situation I like to think about, and some teams should be watching out, and your Raiders are one of them, is the Detroit Lion rule. You cannot pay 3 players $100 million and have a good surrounding cast. The Lions are very hit and miss. With Calvin and Sue and Matt Stafford just a couple of years ago for about 4 or 5 years together. And it pointed to a clear lack of talent around them, even though they had a top 5 defensive player. They had, you know, the best wide receiver in football and a pretty good quarterback. You know, he's not great. I think Derek Carr is a better quarterback than Matt Stafford. So that might lead to a couple more wins. But if you strap yourself with Amari, Khalil Mack, and Derek Carr, you know, I just hate to see teams get into a situation like that to where they can only go as far as their superstars, you know. So I think that the Broncos are one because they've handed money to basically, you know, their whole secondary is getting paid crazy money. As far as T.J. Ward, Aqib Talib, and Chris Harris, you know, and then looking, they just paid Derek Wolf about $10 million a year last season, like during the season. And then on the other side of the ball, Emmanuel Sanders wants to get paid. Oh, and they handed Demaryius Thomas a big contract last offseason. So, I mean, if Paxton Lynch is the future quarterback, I mean, you're going to have to pay him in about 3 or 4 years. And if Von Miller's contract is backloaded, then expect to pony up about 20 to 22 in that fourth or fifth year, you know, just for his cap hit.
Look, I like, okay, John Elway, and I tell everybody this, he built the team to win now. And now the future is not looking so bright because
right. You
hit it. I mean, Harris is, they have Sanders, they have Von Miller. Von Miller has all the leverage, Tyler. All the leverage. He is the best defensive player, in my opinion, one of the best defensive players in the game. He just won the Super Bowl MVP, so I'm sure he's going to be using that to his advantage. So he has all of the cards right now. You know, it's getting ugly. It's getting heated between him and Elway. They can't afford anybody, okay? They have to get Mark Sanchez.
The thing about this right now is, I'm sure you know as well, I mean, do you see Von Miller on social media? Even before all this contract stuff, he's a savage, and he doesn't hold his opinions back. So when people hear him say flat out, I'm not playing on that franchise tag, he's not playing around. He's not going to play. And as you know, this is a point where I condemn, the GM for the Panthers, I give him so much credit for just saying, okay, then we'll see you around, Josh Norman, okay? And this is not an unlikely scenario that we could see one of these franchise tags get resigned right before the deadline, just like Josh Norman's did, you know? If something gets ugly during contract negotiations, you know, somebody could just be a free agent.
And, you know, Tyler, and if you really, really look at it on Twitter, you know, he had a picture of him and John Elway. He immediately took that down. He has endorsements, okay? But he is holding all the cards. You have Aqib Talib going. I mean, they have a lot of issues they need to work out, and Paxton Lynch probably will be the starter. Like, I don't think that there's any doubt that's going to happen. But you're going to have weapons, and Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, this is a mess right now. I mean, they can't afford anybody. And the fact of the matter is when they were so desperate, when Osweiler left and it was bad between Elway and him, and Elway's not going to want a lot of people, but Von Miller is their number one goal, okay? Their number one goal. They had to franchise tag him because they had to choose between him and Osweiler, I think they made the right decision. I mean, there was a reason he is the number two pick in the draft, because he is that good. And he had played
of a
every
crazy
year.
Good 2011 draft. Of
phenomenal,
a crazy good 2011.
Phenomenal draft. I mean, phenomenal draft. But this guy is, I said when he was drafted, he was going to be absolutely something special. A lot of people didn't think that he was going to be that good. I know you probably thought he was going to be that good. I saw him at Texas A&M. He was fantastic. But right now, it doesn't look like anything's close. And he made it clear the other day, as you pointed out, if I don't get what I want, I'm not playing. And he's not bluffing. He is not bluffing.
Nope, not at all. And the next guy is Eric Berry. I don't think he's going to get paid. So I don't think the situation is like last year with Justin Houston, where we do smash out a deal. Just for the simple fact is, if you look at it, he didn't play on one of these CBA deals. He got paid about $5 million or $60 million for 5 years coming out of college. I mean, it was about five for 50. So he's gotten a taste of that NFL money already. He was paid a top 10 safety coming out of college. And that's when teams were throwing contracts like the Sam Bradford deal. I mean, that was nuts. That was bonkers. And you know, so he's already got a taste of that NFL money. So playing on a franchise tag where he's going to make $12 million anyways, I don't think that he really cares, because, you know, there's certain players in organizations that you just kind of know. And I would be absolutely floored. And I mean, probably my heart and my stomach if Eric Berry is in a different uniform next season.
Look, first of all, I want to give credit to Eric Berry and congratulate him on the Comeback Player of the Year. I don't know if you watched the ESPYs. He got a great award. Look, he was outstanding last year. I mean, I literally played him, and I was scared for my life, because this guy, he had nothing to lose. He comes back from lymphoma cancer. He plays like he didn't even miss anything, right? I mean, he's hitting you. He's getting interceptions. He made that defense so much better. Now, regarding the Justin Houston thing, that was a phenomenal pick, by the way, I mean, to sign him. I think it was $101 million, right, or something like that for 6 years.
Yeah.
He's a great player. So that, I mean, Andy Reid has a good defense. Bob Sutton is a good defensive coordinator. Okay, I think the Chiefs they're my pick to win the division this upcoming year, because I think that they have incredible fire, and I think they have the most talent on the team right now. But if you look at it from Eric Berry's standpoint, he has a lot. He has a lot of leverage because of what happened last year. He wins Comeback Player of the Year. I voted for him. He was fantastic, and it's gonna hurt to see him in a different uniform. And I don't, I know he's not going to take the hometown discount, but I'm going to say one thing. I'm thoroughly impressed, and it's like he didn't miss a beat, Tyler. I watched when the Raiders play them every game last. I knew what the outcome was going to be. That's a ferocious defense Andy Reid has built.
Yeah, the game in Oakland last year, that was just, I think that was a young quarterback that kind of fell apart in the second half, you know. They had a good lead. They had, a 10-point lead going into halftime, or maybe just a touchdown. But either way, you know, you got a lead, and I believe right before halftime is when Travis Kelce caught the ball, and he ran about 20 yards, I mean, run after the catch. And Charles Woodson comes up and hits it out of his hands right before halftime. And it just took the whole – it seemed like took the whole wind out of our sails. And then, like you said, you know, that second half, that defense doesn't quit. And Eric Berry is right in the middle of it all. So when I point at – I mean, when you think about a leader, he's right there. And then, like you said, just being – one of the best in the NFL. And you could say he was the best safety in the NFL last year. I don't know. The Honey Badger had a really good year before he went down. So if Tyrann Mathieu would have finished a year, I think he was the best player in football. But, you know, he came up big in the playoffs. He came up big in big spots, like, for example, Eric Berry had a fourth quarter interception against the Pittsburgh Steelers last year, a phenomenal diving catch. And it's just kind of plays like that that we thrive on. You know, after EB makes a play like that, you know, you can see the other guys getting giddy and want to go do the same thing. So it's essential that we keep him around. But I don't think he's going to get paid. So you also don't think he's going to get paid?
I mean, I think it's hard for him, right? Don't you think? I mean, he's in an environment where if you look at it, I mean, I think if he wouldn't want to come back player of the year, he would have gotten paid. But, I mean, this guy, you do need him. However, you have a good defense, and I really – and you, especially since you lost Sean Smith to the Raiders – I think that there's a hole there. However, it's going to be hard for him to stay.
Yeah. Okay, so right now we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we got to jump into NFC West projections. And we know it's a crazy division, so it'll be a good conversation. So, phone lines are open. Rhino, you're going to be back with me?
Absolutely. I'm on for the whole show, if that's all right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, buddy. All right, and we'll see you guys back on the flip side.
Join the original guru, Chris Bellina, as he talks about the NFL and fantasy football. Original guru Chris Bellina will give you the cold hard facts about your favorite NFL team and your favorite NFL and fantasy players. To listen in, go over to www.sportsaddicts.com and click on the show or dial 646-378-1303. You can also be part of the show with your questions or comments by dialing in and pressing number 1 on your phone to come on the show. That's the original guru, only on Sports Addicts Radio.
This Sports Addicts segment is brought to you by Sunrise Carpet and Upholstery Cleaning. Owner Louis Sardi has more than 20 years of professional cleaning experience. They provide you with the highest quality service at the best price possible here in the Las Vegas area. Lou Sardi and his team provide service that is well beyond their competitors. The services provided are carpet and upholstery cleaning, carpet repair, odor removal, and tile and grout cleaning, and they work Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. To contact Sunrise Carpet and Upholstery Cleaning, dial 702-454-5393 or go over to sunrisecarpetupholsterycleaning.com.
All right, welcome back to the Train of Thought. I'm still joined here by Rhino, and right now we are going to jump into some 2016 predictions, and focal point of tonight is the NFC West. We're talking Arizona Cardinals, Seattle Seahawks, San Francisco 49ers, and the LA Rams. So, Rhino, I have this broken up into categories on who's going to be the best player at certain. So we're just going to start with most improved. So we're going to kind of look at first or second year players kind of off the top of your head. I know I wasn't expecting you to come on, so it's just kind of off the top of your head. But first, second year players, or maybe a veteran who maybe turned his season around last year and you think is going to put the world on notice, or should put the world on notice this next season.
I guess I'll go to every team. Look, this is a good division to watch, minus one team, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But I'm looking for a lot of things, and I pay attention to this division because I'm actually a big fan of Seattle, so I'm a little bit biased. But I love what Seattle did last year, even though I think that it was kind of a down year, right, if you looked at it, because Russell Wilson played out of his mind. Well, right now, I mean, if you really look at it, I'm going to go from Seattle. I'm going to start here. I'm going to go with Jimmy Graham. I think this is a chance for him to be the impact player. He got hurt. I mean, he really wasn't affected.
Out of the whole
right,
division?
that's hard because you have Jimmy Graham in Seattle. I'm just giving you my four off the top of my head, and then I'll give you my conclusion here.
This isn't comeback player.
Yeah.
This is
no, I know.
Most improved, and Jimmy Graham from last. You know, my most improved. It's from last year, who should now be in the spotlight, and I'm gonna go with Doug Baldwin. And you can see, his lack of production before, but he really put the world on notice. And now the eyes are on him in Seattle, in the wide receiving group. So, Jimmy Graham, if he can make a bounce back, then he'll be a force in that division. But kind of jumping from 2015 to 2016, I think the most improvement in a single player is Doug Baldwin.
Okay, I see what you meant. My apologies, I missed.
No, that's cool.
Communicated there. I think you're right. Doug Baldwin was good. Tyler Lockett, what was a rookie last year, played absolutely fantastic. But I like what what's his name? Oh, I just lost his name off the top of my head from Arizona. The wide receiver, John
David?
Brown. My sleeper. I picked him up in one of my draft leagues. I really really liked him. I thought he was a key factor. I thought John Brown played absolutely terrific.
Yeah, he went over 1,000, and he was pretty close to double-digit touchdowns. I think he had 9 touchdowns. It might be 6. I don't know. but John Brown is definitely a guy that you could look at because he. He did have – I'm saying he had expectations and he knocked him down. So you could say that he improved. So, John Brown could definitely be on that in that conversation. But he could be a leading candidate for this next one that I want to jump into, and that's breakout star. And, these are guys – I don't think John Brown is a household name yet. But I think that David Johnson kind of put his stake, his claim. I think he staked his claim last year as far as being on the spot in the national spotlight. He went bananas in the playoffs. He was the best player on the Cardinals in their playoff run. I mean, kind of by the numbers, and or him and Larry Fitz. I think Larry Fitz had a phenomenal postseason. But
like he always does. Yeah.
But the game against the Carolina Panthers, where they got smoked, David Johnson was the best player on that team. So, you know, a lot more people watched that game. So I think a guy, for me, kind of give you a second to think about who you might want to spit out there. But a breakout star, I think, this year, you know, Chandler Jones has added to that defensive front for Arizona, which now boasts Calais Campbell and Chandler Jones on the same line, which is pretty ridiculous. And now I think they got a guy in Marcus Golden who they drafted relatively late last year, really makes strides when given the opportunity. And I think they really like him and they're going to work him in. I could see him racking up 10 plus sacks next year and guys just being like, you know, who is this guy? You know, but, you know, he's a guy that I could see doing that. Him or Deion Buchanan, you know, I don't think he's a household name yet. But with a couple other secondary members of the Arizona Cardinals not on the team anymore, Johnson and Rashad Johnson, I can't remember the other guy at the moment, but or Jefferson, I think Tony Jefferson. You know, he can be a guy that can really make that step as Deion Buchanan. So what are your thoughts on that, Rhino?
You know, I'm going to agree with you about David Johnson, and I've had multiple conversations, and I live here in Arizona. Everybody in this state loves him. I mean, what he did was incredible. He could block, he could catch, he can run, he can do all of it. He was a great player. But my breakout player, and I love what David Johnson did, how about Tyler Lockett? I loved what he did. I mean, really, this guy was returning kicks, he was catching the ball, I really, really liked him, although, you know, David Johnson does get my vote, but I mean, it was really between both of them. But the Chandler Jones trade was brilliant, right? I mean, it was brilliant because they needed another pass rusher. Calais Campbell was giving up there in age. I like Chandler Jones. I think he's still productive. I was a little bit surprised that New England pulled the trigger, but Bill Belichick loves trades, as we know. So it was a really good move. I like it. I think that they, and I said multiple times, they need to bolster up their defensive line from last year, and I think that they did that. Marcus Golden comes out of Missouri, was one of my favorite players coming into the draft. I thought he was a sleeper. He's been very good. Deion Buchanan is what, a linebacker / safety, so it really depends on what he wants to do, wherever he wants to, Bruce Arians wants to play him. But I really like this team. This team's great all on the board. You know, you have a good quarterback, relatively. you have a good running game because you have Chris Johnson back, I think, so they're going to balance each other out. You have a great wide receiving core, so I really, really like it. But David Johnson, out of the third-round pick out of Northern Iowa, nobody thought this guy was going to do anything. And Chris Johnson lost his job to David Johnson. And, you know, piggyback on your point, that slaughtered, when they got killed against Carolina, he was the MVP for Arizona.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think I'm pretty sure I've mentioned it on air with you before that David went to the same high school as me. He was a couple grades older, actually, and watched him on the gridiron, and he was also an animal on the basketball court. And, you know, so everyone around here definitely knew about him. But I tried imagining not knowing, you know, about David Johnson. You know, everybody kept an eye on him since he was in high school and then went to UNI. Everyone still kept tabs on him. And then all of a sudden, you know, you see him at the scouting combine. He's blowing people away. And he was MVP of the Senior Bowl, I believe. Or he just completely balled out in that game. But, you know, his draft stock, he risen himself just with the camera on him, you know, because he went to UNI, and that's not a big school at all. I mean, I'm about 3 hours away from it, and, you know,
Kurt Warner is the other guy, pretty much. So I can definitely see, like, how people outside of Clinton, Iowa would view David Johnson, and it's good, and it's interesting to hear you saying that you can, you know, you hear people talking in Arizona about him. So that's good. Okay, so the next category is a really tough one. So I'm just going to kind of go first so you can think about it, because it is going to be kind of tough. And that's handpicking who you think the best defensive player in this entire division is going to be by the end of the 2016 season. Not the 2015 season, but a projection on who the standout defender in that division is going to be by the end of 2016. You know, I feel that Tyrann Mathieu has gotten a lot of the spotlight lately on that Arizona defense, as he rightfully should, but I think Patrick Peterson is going to have a really good year next year. And I mean, maybe talks of defensive player of the year. You can kind of see, you know, the team's always been kind of revolved, you know, the defense kind of revolved around him because he can move wherever. But if everything else is going, I'm talking about the front seven as far as getting at the quarterback, because that's really what they were lacking last year. I mean, they didn't have a guy with over 10 sacks last year. And when your leading sacker, I guess, is Dwight Freeney at the age of 100, then, you know, you have some pass rush issues. And, you know, any football mind, you know, it's a no-brainer that pressure up front equals opportunities in the back. So if they can get at the quarterback, then Patrick Peterson's interceptions, his everything is just going to go up. And this might be the year that he stakes his claim as being, hey, I'm the best corner in the NFL. But I don't think that, but he already does. He already says, I'm the best corner in the NFL. I mean, if you ask him, he's going to say, PP, me. So, but I don't think that, for example, when we rank our top, I mean, is Patrick Peterson at the top of a lot of lists? I don't think so. But at the end of 2016, I think he might be talked between 1 and 2.
I don't disagree with you on that. Look, these defenses in this division, minus the 49ers, are pretty stellar, right? I mean, the Rams built a good defense. The Cardinals have a good defense. Seattle, we know what defense they have. Okay, look, I like Patrick Peterson. I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. He's a great corner. However, he's not the best corner in the game. You know, and I think the best corner in the game is in this division. however, personally, I honestly think that, look, Patrick Peterson is great. He will probably be the best player coming into the 2016 season. I think he has a great chance to be the defensive player of the year. He has the bragging rights. I will choose him, but Richard Sherman is the best corner in the game.
Ooh, that's a pretty bold claim, my friend.
Tyler, you have people who don't even want to throw over to his side. That's how dominant the guy is. I mean, and when they do, you know, and I'm going to piggyback to a lot of people, but, you know, a couple of throws people make, I mean, he intercepts them. He's, you know, definitely worth the money he was paid by Seattle. You know, the guy went to Stanford, played under Harbaugh in college, comes to Seattle, does what he has to do. It's 1 and 2. They are the 1 and 2 corners in the game. I just don't think Patrick Peterson's the best.
No, and that's what I'm saying. I don't think he's a consensus best amongst many people. But, you know, my thing with Revis is,
he went to a team, without him, they did not reach the Super Bowl. I'm willing to bet anything that I love that that wouldn't have happened. So, you know, that on top of, you look at the Jets' 2014 passing stats or overall defensive stats, and then you look at their 2015 defensive stats, it's not a coincidence that that their statistics took such a hike just because Darrelle Revis came back. You know, we're gonna move off of the top. I just want to throw my two cents in on the best cornerback thing. But Aaron Donald was my other guy. You know, I'm super proud of my pick that I picked him for Defensive Rookie of the Year a couple years ago, and I had him for Defensive Player of the Year before the season started, and I think he fell just a couple sacks short because, I mean, that is a different human being. I mean, really.
He's phenomenal.
incredibly strong. And the thing is when I was doing my mock draft, I had him going to the Steelers a couple picks before. And that would have been phenomenal if the Steelers would have picked Aaron Donald.
They
probably
would have won the title, Tyler.
Cameron Hayward and Aaron Donald and all those linebackers.
Woo! But, I mean, if you really look at it, he went to a perfect team for him, right? A team that plays the same way. Because he came out of college in, Pittsburgh, I think, right, when he was drafted.
Yeah.
And then he comes in. It just throws everybody for a loop. And if I had to choose any coach to coach me on defense, it would probably be Jeff Fisher would probably be on the top of my list. He knows how to do defenses. He had a great defense in Tennessee. All right. Well, he had McNair, too, so that helps. But now he has a great defense. He has Robert Quinn on the other side of him. You know, you have a good secondary. I mean, dude, I love this guy. This guy is, you're right, he's a different human being. You know, the guy comes into a room, I mean, the whole presence is like, I mean, you're insane. But I think he went to a great team. It's a perfect fit for him. And when he was drafted, I texted multiple people and said, this is a perfect fit because Jeff Fisher knows how to mend him. And 2 straight years, he's played absolutely fantastic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think he still definitely has a stake for Defensive Player of the Year this year. So, you know, going forward, it's kind of the biggest individual award, I suppose, or projected award. And that's who the MVP of the entire division you think is going to be by the end of the 2016 season. And I think, you know, I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's got to go to Russell Wilson. The kid's making improvements every single year, and I'm kind of excited to see what his ceiling is, you know. So, you know, it's not just the passing, you know, it's the running and how smart he is, and, you know, it's a whole different ball game with Russell Wilson. There's not very many quarterbacks you can point to as far as a comparison. I think the closest would have to be Steve Young. So, I want to say he's going to have a better career than Steve Young. So on your end, now he does have to win a couple MVPs because Steve Young did. But I definitely think he's going to win one and win one or a couple in his NFL career. So, is this going to be the year that he wins the NFL MVP? I don't know, but I think this is a year where he no doubt will be the best player in that division.
Oh, look, Russell Wilson was a third rounder. And he was, I mean, his first year he got to the playoffs. I think they lost to Atlanta in the divisional round. Second year he wins the Super Bowl. His third year he goes back to the Super Bowl. Should have won it because of a bonehead call. They should have won back to back. And then, you know, he loses to the NFC champions. I mean, call me crazy, but that's a pretty successful year, right? Two Super Bowls in 4 years. I mean,
sure,
I have nothing to, I have nothing else to say about, badly about. I don't have anything to say about bad about him. But if you look at Russell Wilson, he had to play a completely different game last season. He had to throw ball. Seattle was running the ball. You had Marshawn Lynch. You could rely on him. Beast mode. He didn't have that. So he had to throw the ball, and that's when Doug Baldwin, like you mentioned earlier, had stepped up tremendously. Kerr stepped up. I mean, he had to, not only that, he was running with the ball. So this guy's a multidimensional. I completely agree with you. And in retrospect, to your point, Steve Young had a phenomenal roster. Okay, he should have won MVP. Seattle, it's the same boat. I mean, he has good wide receivers. I think he's going to have a good core with him. I'm a little bit worried about the line because I know that they lost Russell Okung and a couple players. But at the end of the day, I trust Pete Carroll. I trust Russell Wilson. This is a good – I mean, 4 straight years he's been to the playoffs. I mean, call me crazy. And Carolina's fortunate they won that game because they were sitting back chilling, and he almost single-handedly won them the game. So,
absolutely.
He's got a great quarterback. And he is the best quarterback in this division.
Yeah. And, you know, when – a while ago when I did my top 10 quarterbacks, I think Russell Wilson was the third best quarterback in the NFL.
Correct.
Behind Brady and Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, not only Russell, but, you know, it's kind of hard to point out, you know, amongst the quarterbacks, because Carson, yeah, he put up phenomenal numbers last year, but I think it's kind of, I don't think it's unrealistic, but I don't think that you should think that you're going to have that kind of, or have much of an improvement going forward. But Russell Wilson is very young, so I still think that there's room for improvement. I would not be surprised to see a little bit of regression from Carson Palmer. I mean, they can still win 11 or 12 games with five less touchdown passes or so. So, that's the only thing for me is I'd rather roll the dice on Russell going into a season than Carson Palmer, who people forget about his lows as well. Now, it is kind of difficult to point out a low in Russell Wilson's career so far. So that's something that we can't really compare unless you really want to say, you know, every time he lost a playoff game was a big disappointment, which sure it is, but I mean, look, you went to 2 Super Bowls in 2 years and won one, so that's more than what Carson can ever say, will ever say, and that was your first 4 years. So I was kind of ranting for a second here, I guess, but you know, and now as a whole division is really between the Cardinals and the Seahawks. Let's not kid ourselves. Just kind of cut to the chase that the Rams and the Niners, forget about it. Okay, forget about it. And it's, I mean, there's simple self-explanatory reasons if you know your stuff on football. So Cardinals or Seahawks will be crowned the 2016 division champions.
I got to lean towards Arizona. I mean, I look at both of these rosters, Tyler, there's a significant difference, okay? Seattle has a lot – they have a great defense. Like I said, I think they have the best corner in the game. However, you know, Arizona has Tyrann Mathieu and Patrick Peterson. I mean, that's two – I mean, that's two beasts in the back, all right? You have Chandler Jones. You have David Johnson, Chris Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Floyd. You have John Brown. I mean, the list just goes on and on. They finally have the best coach they've had in years, if you really look at it. I mean, naming the coaches, you know, and I love what Bruce Arians has done. Look, Arizona went 13-3 last year. All right, they were smut. They went to the NFC Championship game. Unfortunately, got blown out. But it's a learning curve for them. So, you know, they went out and got Robert and I cannot say his last name for anything. Ole Miss. that guy is going to be a place filler. You know, he knows how to draft. He's done a really good job. So I got to give the edge to Arizona. Seattle's going to make the playoffs, but there was a time Seattle was the dominant one. And now this is the last year Carson Palmer has to make it to the Super Bowl. And I personally think it's put up or shut up. And I think Arizona is slightly going to be the better team. It's going to be close. It's really going to be close. It's really between the two of them because San Francisco's on the bottom, I think. And St. Louis just isn't there yet.
Right.
Sorry, L.A.
Right.
Sorry.
And that's what I said, man. We're just cut to the chase on those two teams, you know.
It's not like the AFC West where, you know, essentially I really think you can throw names in a hat if you're a typical Raider or a typical just fan. But if you really, I mean, like for us, we're really going to dive into it. But, you know, if there's some guys around a bar and they're just shooting it about football, you know, they're going to say, I mean, nobody's really going to say the Rams or the Niners, but in this instance, I'm actually going to go the other way. And the way I'm looking at it is simply, it's coming down to week 16. Both of these two teams are two of the best teams in the NFC in general. Maybe
correct.
In all of football. So we're talking about probably two out of the top five teams in football. They're going to be good next year. And week 16, it's Arizona at Seattle. And whichever way it's going to go, I think that's where the division's going to go. Because week 17, Arizona goes to Los Angeles, which can be a tricky game. They lost to the Rams last year. And Seattle is at San Francisco. And they throttle them about every time. So if it does come down to Arizona-Seattle at Seattle, you know, I think Arizona beat them in Seattle last year. And then Seattle throttled them in Arizona.
Oh,
so,
it was ugly. it was bad.
It could go either way, but I think I'm gonna lean towards Seattle. And you know, obviously there's no wrong answers. So, but that does not mean that I think you're not wrong.
I mean, the NFC West is going to shape up. I mean, it's a fun division because, I mean, we're saying that these two teams are the only two teams in the division. But, like I just said, they're two of the best teams in football, though. And if you like watching good football, then watch these two teams. I mean, that's kind of what I'm talking about. And
every year, and even when Arizona wasn't contending or Seattle wasn't contending back in the day, they were always competitive with each other, right? These two teams hate each other, and they come at each other like dogs, and it's always fun to watch. And, you know, I remember that Sunday night game, I think it was, when Arizona played Seattle and Carson Palmer played the game of his life when he made all those great throws. You know, and David Johnson came in, or I mean, Chris Johnson was there, and then David Johnson emerged later. But, you know, that was a great game to watch. And Seattle last year, I mean, if you really remember, had injuries coming out of the hoo-ha. You know, Earl Thomas was hurt, Cliff Averill was hurt, and you had a lot of injuries going in there. So a very healthy team could be very, very dangerous. And I like your point about Seattle going, because it could come down to the last game, right? If it comes down to the last game, the Legion of Boom, the 12th man, it's very difficult to play there no matter who you are. So it's going to be very, very fun to watch. I'm actually intrigued to see both of these two teams because you hit it. These are the two best teams in the NFL. Screw the NFC. The NFL, they've done phenomenal.
Right.
They built incredible, incredible football teams. So Pete Carroll and Bruce Arians, it's fun to watch these two teams play. It really is.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you just said their head coaches, you know, I think Belichick's the best coach in football. But
oh,
then I think
absolutely
it goes,
agree.
And then I think it goes Arians and then Pete Carroll. I mean, I lean Bruce Arians just because, I mean, I could actually just go on, but I'm not. So there's, you know, a certain demeanor about him.
Well, they were a laughing stock, right, Tyler? I mean, he comes in there. This is what his first head coaching job as in the NFL. He comes in there. He felt disrespected by Indianapolis when or Pittsburgh when they give him the job. Right, he comes in Indianapolis, and we saw what he does. And I look at this guy. They were a laughingstock. Nobody respected Arizona. And now they're a team that everyone's scared of. So he's turned them around, and I applaud him for that.
Absolutely. All right, so we're going to take a quick station break, and then when we come back in about 15 seconds, we're going to go into fantasy football. So be right back on the Train of Thought.
You are listening to Sports Addicts Radio, the best in sports and memorabilia. To listen in, go over to sportsaddicts.com and click on the show. Or to listen and be part of the show, simply dial 646-378-1303.
All right, welcome back, and this is the Train of Thought on Sports Addicts Radio, powered by Blog Talk Radio, and we're going to get into some fantasy football tips, and some I've thrown out there so far are just first-round tips, and then some players you can probably wait on, or positions in general, but now we're jumping into sleepers, and these next couple shows, I'm going to go five by five and just spitball five names. The next three shows that you should probably have on your watch list. And I'll go 15. You know, there are guys like that, but I'm talking about rounds about six and beyond. So jumping right into it. Is a quarterback, actually, and that's Tyrod Taylor. He will be available super late, and, you know, it's kind of looking for a substitution as far as, let's just say that you have Andrew Luck, and he's playing the Texans that week, and the Texans are on a roll, and their defense is on fire, and you're kind of hesitant, you know, throw in Tyrod against the Dolphins, okay? And, well, I mean, I have the schedule right here, so, you know, real quick, let's see what week the Colts play the Texans, and what do you think about that first one, Rhino?
Tyrod Taylor. You know, Tyrod actually surprised me last year. I like him. I thought, you know, he made a lot of plays with his legs. And remember when they took EJ Manuel? I don't know, remember. I don't know what your thoughts on what's that, but I thought it was a really bad pick. And then Tyrod Taylor comes, actually played very well under Rex. And Rex is not my favorite coach. I don't think he knows how to mend quarterbacks. But Tyrod did really well. They went 8-8 last year. They were absolutely competitive. So, really, I mean, I love what he did. And look, the chemistry he has with Watkins is phenomenal. And Robert Woods is very good on this team. So they have they have great talent. And it is very, very, very fun to watch. He's so dynamic, though. He's Russell Wilson. He could do it with his legs, which he's very good at. And with his arm, and he has a cannon of an arm. But I do want to point out, though, that game against New England, I think week two in Buffalo, that showed me right there that Tyrod Taylor could play the quarterback.
Yeah, I remember that game. And,
Just what I was looking for was in its week 14 of the 2016 season, the Colts will play the Texans, and Tyrod will be playing, will have the Steelers come to town. So, you know, just for an example, you know, you could pick up Tyrod pretty late and play him around that time if you already picked Andrew Luck. So just a scenario, you know, I think about these things going into the season because I want to construct a team that, you know, some people might look at funny, but I'm looking at matchups down the road sometimes, and I'll just stash a couple guys on my bench all year who I think will eventually start, and, you know, what do you know, I get a couple, you know, good weeks out of them. You know, they're not starters, but, you know, these are the type of names that I'm going to be throwing out. So going forward is, you know, you kind of hit his name already, and I think he could be higher, but I have John Brown at number 14. He's going to be picked relatively – he's not – I don't think he's going to be a starting wide receiver even in a 12-man league. So I don't think he's a top 24 quarterback or wide receiver going into this next season. So, you know, that kind of puts him in this category. And the thing about it is, for me, I personally think Michael Floyd is going to have the best season out of those wide receivers next year. So, I don't think Michael Floyd will be taken beyond the sixth round. I think he will be taken in, you know, between rounds 1 through 6 in a 12-man league. So he doesn't qualify, but he would be relatively high. But this is where John Brown lands for me. This is all goodness. So, I mean, these are guys that, you know, you should be looking for next year.
You know what you're talking about in fantasy because I've been doing fantasy for a long time. And, you know, I think ahead. You know, you've got to almost think ahead, think of the matchup. As soon as the schedule comes out, you're thinking, who am I going to pick? Who plays what week? You know, I mean, that's just how it is when you do fantasy. But regarding John Brown, I already said that I think he's good. Do I think he's going to be a really, really high pick? Probably not. He'll go late round, 6th, 7th, or something like that. But he's a guy you want on your team. He's dynamic. He's explosive. And you said it earlier, he's not the household name yet. Eventually, he's playing like he played last year. He will be. But Michael Floyd is somebody special. He's really tall. He can make catches. And he reminds me of Malcolm Floyd from San Diego. They're the exact same player. And I did that on purpose. but, you know, I like him. And all three of those wide receivers are just stellar, man.
Right, and I'm gonna name just a couple guys to speed it up just a little bit, and I like Mohamed Sanu next year, and I know he's not a number one, but I mean these are guys who you could put on the bench and play them at good times, and Mohamed Sanu being with Julio Jones. He could, you know, you're going to have to pick and choose when to play him because obviously you're not going to play Mohamed Sanu, you know, over Julio or anything like that. So it's not a debate on whether or not he's a number one. So you know that you're getting a number two. So kind of thinking about last year, you know, kind of think about where Terrence Williams was picked. You know, he was one of the best number two receivers going into last year. And, I mean, in comparative to his counterpart, you know, number one receiver being Dez Bryant. And then you also think about Emmanuel Sanders, who's a number two receiver. But, if you know, he typically goes, you know, kind of late, probably around the 5th or 6th round, when in all reality he could be taken earlier.
Yeah, and you know, and not a fantasy point. I'm just going to do a quick point real quick. It takes a lot of pressure off of Julio Jones, right? Because last year he had to do everything himself, and Mohamed Sanu is a good player. He goes to Atlanta, so it's going to be him in the Roddy White years, or when Roddy White was there. It's going to take the pressure off of him, and Matt Ryan has another weapon to throw to. So I wouldn't discount him if I'm a fantasy owner because he's going to get the ball a lot.
And the next guy is a rookie, but I actually have a couple of them on. I have a couple of them on my list, and one of them right now is Devontae Booker. And I know it's kind of a mess over there, but this is kind of, I mean, as far as, hey, he's not starting, why should I pick him? But this is one of the guys that I'm saying you could stash away on your bench, and, you know, I can almost guarantee at some point you're going to get a couple good games out of him. Whether it's injury, Ronnie Hillman or C.J. Anderson, they both have their issues. Or C.J. Anderson averages 3 yards a game or 3 yards a carry for 5 games again. So, you know, the door for him is open. You know, kind of. He's just got to kind of kick it in when he gets his opportunity. And I think Devontae Booker is a guy that you could definitely stash away and get some kind of value out of him at some point.
Absolutely, absolutely agree. And with C.J. Anderson, really not that effective, right? I mean, I'm no fan of C.J. Anderson. But, you know, I think he fits right into Denver's offense, and I thought he was good in Utah. So I think he'll be a very, very good running back.
All right. And the next one is actually, well, I guess, oh, where'd it go? Hold on. Sorry. A tight end, Jared Cook. You know,
bring back.
He had his moments in St. Louis. You know, he wasn't a perennial pro baller or even a pro baller, but in a system like Green Bay, where you know they're going to be passing the ball, you know, even when the Rams were trying to pass the football, they still somehow reverted back to the run. So, in Jared Cook's situation, this is the best situation he's going to be in. And I don't know if they're planning on running two tight end sets with Ricky Rogers and Jared Cook, but it feels like Jared Cook should be the starter. So I think he's going to be picked relatively late, and he's definitely a guy that should have some eyes on him.
This guy might be the biggest steal, right? I mean, if you looked at it, because when he was with St. Louis, you knew it wasn't going to work, right? He didn't have a good quarterback to throw to. And the ironic part is the offense last year for St. Louis was to run, so they never shied away from it. But he's with Aaron Rodgers, and we know how much Aaron Rodgers loves to throw the ball to Joey Nelson, to Randall Cobb. And what got him to the Super Bowl in 2010? He threw to Michael Finley at tight end. He loves tight ends. Any quarterback loves tight ends. This is a guy that can go up, catch the ball. He can block. And if they run a two tight end set, Richard Rodgers did absolutely fantastic last year. But Jared Cook, ooh, I can't wait to see him in Green Bay because Aaron Rodgers must be loving him right now because this is a perfect tight end for him.
Right, right. And, you know, absolutely, you know, going to a system like that, you know, obviously the best quarterback in football, in my opinion, is, you know, nothing but an upside. And it just, you know, going into this draft, I don't think that a lot of people have their eyes on him. I think they're actually looking at the next guy who I still think is going to be picked relatively late. And, you know, I'm only comparing them because they're free agent tight ends, and that's Ladarius Green going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he's the last guy thrown out here. And the thing about him is he's got everything physically. And obviously the Steelers are very pass-heavy, but they also have a healthy dose of running game in which he will be expected to block because Heath Miller was a hell of a blocker, and that's something that they thrive on. So he's still got to show up in that aspect. But he still does have competition. But
I definitely think he's a guy around the eighth or ninth round will be there in a redraft. So definitely a guy to mark down. What do you think?
And Ben Roethlisberger has another weapon. I mean, that offense is explosive. Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, right? You got Martavius Bryant. That's a great offense they have. And look, he needs to catch the ball. He has issues in that department. Heath Miller is not going to be replaced. It's very hard to replace him. He won two titles there. He is a very, very influential. He comes there, leaves San Diego, comes to Pittsburgh. We'll see how it works out there. But, every year, Roethlisberger just gets another weapon. I mean, if they can only work on their defense, this would be phenomenal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and, I mean, think about it. At one point, they had Antonio Brown, Mike Wallace, and Emmanuel Sanders all on the same team. I mean, Mike Wallace was a good wide receiver at one point. I mean, let's not forget that.
I have a question for you about fantasy. Kelvin Benjamin is coming back from an ACL injury, right? Should they worry about him coming? Because an ACL injury, I never normally take people who have an ACL injury to, like, worry about the cautious part of it, you know? But should they grab him or not? Because Cam Newton's going to use him very effectively, right?
Well, straight up and down, he is going to be drafted. Somebody is going to pick him, and it's just, are you the guy to do it? And should you be worried? I mean, absolutely. Does it hurt his draft stock? Absolutely. Because, I mean, look at Jamal. I'm a diehard Chiefs fan, but there's no way I'm touching him in the first round. I'm not dumb. So ACL injuries are an issue, but we've seen bounce back seasons like none other, you know, regarding Adrian Peterson, of course. Let's not forget Navarro Bowman also.
Oh, man, really, I can still see his knee turn.
he came back better than ever. To answer your question, he will be drafted. And I think, you know, for me personally, I do have, you know, I buy like a magazine that lists like the top 300, and typically I'll just cross off names that I don't even like want to even look at when it comes to draft day, just because I like to narrow down my list. And Kelvin Benjamin is still on my list. So I'm going to be looking at him on draft day.
A couple of years ago, Tyler, I drafted a couple people. Three of them tore their ACL in one year, and I pretty much lost every game. So now I'm like cautious to draft anybody who has an ACL injury. But you answered my next question, Jamal Charles. I can't touch him. Like, I really, really think he's a great running back, but he's had what, two ACL surgeries. He's a little fragile, and I just don't know if I want to touch somebody who had that major of an injury, because I don't want them to re-aggravate it. I don't know if it sounds cliche, but, you know, I had one year where I had all four people who had injuries, ACLs, on my lineup, and, you know, it haunted me. And I was a defending champ, so and now I'm trying to get my title back. But, you know, I'm in a redraft league, I'm in a PPR league, I'm in a lot of leagues, and I just stay away from injuries like that. So I'm a little bit skeptical on him, but I think he has an extraordinary amount of talent.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubting that. And, you know, I don't believe that Teddy Ginn and Philly Brown, you know, those guys, I think that was kind of thrived on the energy that was going on. And I think they overperformed. And I don't think those are the kind of guys that they really are, because they did look really good. Teddy Ginn, I actually played him a couple weeks and got big numbers out of him. So I don't think that's going to happen again. or, I mean, for years going forward. But Kelvin Benjamin looks like the future at wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers. So you got to imagine that they're going to force him in.
I can only imagine what would happen if they kept Steve Smith. Oh, my goodness.
Right. And
if they kept Steve Smith, they would have been phenomenal. But
yeah, and, you know, obviously he's with the Ravens now, so. I don't think we're going to get into the great debate tonight, and that's because, not because I don't want to do it with you, but I had a feeling that Aaron would have went the opposite way on this, but just for, because I feel like I might know which way you're going, but do you believe that the Bengals will win a Super Bowl under Andy Dalton? Not can, will he? So it's more of a statement.
Do I believe the Bengals can win under Andy Dalton is a question, right?
Yes.
I say.
Will win, not can win.
Honestly, no. I don't think, I mean, I hate to go back on previous records, Tyler, but you know where I'm going to go with this. I think his record is 0-6 or 0-5 because he had an injury. I mean, he has a great, I mean, look, okay, he's a great wide receiver, AJ Green. He's got a good cast. I don't think he can win a Super Bowl with Cincinnati. I don't see him being the guy.
Nope, me neither. And, you know, that's what kind of, you know, a great debate is about, is being on opposite ends. So I was kind of anticipating Aaron on, and I feel like he would have went the other way on this.
He said he's a
secondary Bengals fan, I think. So, I think he has big expectations for Andy Dalton too. So, we can't really debate this because we both agree. So it's not much of a debate.
Yeah, I mean, it's so fun, but I mean, and you know, we both looked at the real picture. If he hasn't done it now, I don't know when he's going to do it. Because I mean, now's the time.
Yeah, he should have showed something by now.
Yeah,
getting your team to playoffs.
Good. You know?
Right. And like you said, you got one of the, you know, top five wideout in AJ Green, you know, arguably. You know, I think he's about like number six or so, but that's just because there's incredible, you know, wideouts right now. You know, that pretty much brings it to the end of the show. So, Rhino, thanks for coming on with me and just kind of tell people how they can get a hold of you and whatnot.
Tweet me at Rhino's Hotspots 1. I'm on Twitter all the time. So, just tweet me and I'll feedback.
All right. And I'm going to, I know this is a Thursday, but I'll be on next Wednesday. Regular timing at 8 o'clock. That's next Wednesday at 8 o'clock. And this is Train of Thought. Have a good night, Rhino.
Thanks for having me.
It's